Joshua, please, chapter number 1. Joshua, chapter number 1. You get to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then we get to the book of Joshua. What a great book it is, speaking about the children of Israel being led, of course, out of captivity. Moses is now dead. We'll read that here in just a moment. And the children of Israel are moving on now. And so Joshua chapter number 1, in verse number 1, it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I did give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this great Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast." Boy, I thank the Lord for the boundaries that God has given to the children of Israel. Amen? Amen. By the way, still to this day. Amen. Still to this very day. God's never recanted that. And so we need to understand that. Let's go on, though. Our message isn't about the boundaries of Israel this morning. Verse number 5. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Now watch the next two verses. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." This morning, the title of our message comes right out of verse number 9, simply two words, be strong. Be strong. Oh, this morning, God encourages us to be strong. He wants for us to be strong. Be strong and of a good courage. But if we are not strong, we will have no courage. I'm all for being courageous. I believe we should be courageous. But before we can be courageous, we've got to learn to be strong. Well, let's be strong this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll have our special. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you, Lord, for the words that you've given to us. Lord, I pray that even, dear God, as you have spoken here to Joshua, Lord, I know it's Old Testament, Lord, but the Old Testament is living just as the New Testament is today, Lord. That Bible holds for me, Lord, and for my life and for my family, just as it did for Joshua. Lord, I pray that I would not let the words of your Bible depart from my mouth. Lord, I pray that they would be ever present upon my lips, dear God, that I would hide them in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Lord, I pray you bless us this morning. Help us to be strong. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want us to look here, of course. We read there in Joshua 1 about the death of Moses. We understand, of course, the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. God used Moses to pen those books. The Holy Spirit moved upon Moses just as He did upon Paul, just as He did upon Matthew, just as He did upon John. And a very, very real scripture we have in the first five books, the Pentateuch of the Bible. We read the last few verses here of Deuteronomy. In verse number 1, it says, "And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the Mount of Nebo." By the way, I'm in verse number or chapter 34. I didn't mean to confuse you there. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse number 1. And we read here, he goes up under the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. "And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all of Naphtali, and all the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, and the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. Then God says, I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. Oh, can you imagine what must have been going through Moses, his mind? I am able now. Well, I've heard. It's been passed down from generation to generation. The promise that God has made of the land, the promised land, Canaan land. And we sing the wonderful songs, oh, Canaan land is just in sight, because we imagine ourselves just as Moses was hoping one day to be able to see the promised land. And now God, of course, because of his disobedience, brings him up to the top of the mountain and says, Moses, I want to teach through your life a lesson to all of the rest of humanity, that I expect obedience unto my word. I expect obedience unto my will. This is what we're learning here. He looks off from the mountaintop and he sees all of the land before him as God points it out purposefully. This area for this tribe, and this area for this tribe, and on all the way. And he says, Moses, this is the land. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, I promised them, but you don't get to go in. You don't get to set foot. And your disobedience, he doesn't say it specifically, but the disobedience of Moses has resounded now for the last 4,000 years because of the fact of the disobedience of a single act. Moses was kept now from the promised land. But oh, he longed to see it. He longed to be able to view it. Now, I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord that God expects obedience from His children, but I am thankful just as much that God does not withhold from me heaven if I am not exactly obedient to every jot and every tittle in Scripture. I know that I go to heaven by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I get saved. I'm born again. I know that that gives me eternity, and I'll disappoint God, but I thank the Lord that the illustration, the type, if you will, does not press to 100%, even though He withheld Moses from the promised land. He will not withhold me once I'm born again. He'll not withhold from me heaven, even though He expects from me the same obedience that He expected from Moses. You see, we read about this because now Joshua, it transitions, and now a new leader, a new head of the children of Israel comes on the scene. Well, I've wondered so many times for so many years, what was the character like of Moses? What was his character like? What type of a leader was he? We read illustrations, we read things in the Bible that give us a small glimpse, but we don't read the exactness of it. I wonder, was he more of a laissez-faire type of a leader? Here's what's expected of you. In action, he may not demand as God demands. He may not demand lockstep obedience. What kind of a leader was Joshua as Joshua took over? You know, you look at the children of Israel, they rebelled against Moses. But they followed Joshua. I've always wondered about that. What is it about the individuals that we can learn? Now, I understand it. Certainly God, as God moved upon these men, as God moved upon their hearts. But we think immediately of, or at least I do, I think of the fellowship. Leadership is important. It always will be. Everything rises and falls upon leadership. Not original with me. Lee Robertson made the statement years ago. But you know, fellowship, if there is no fellowship, the best leader will be nothing. There need to be those who are willing to follow the leadership. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about God. He is the leader. Oh, He allows me to lead the church, but He is the leader that I want us to look to. And so we see from this, as we turn the page now, and we go over to the book of Joshua, and we read now, immediately, God is trying to impress upon Joshua to be strong. Well, he just watched these people rebel against Moses. He just watched these people backslide at seemingly every hand. For 40 years, they wandered through the desert, which would have taken 11 days from from point A to point B. They could have made it in 11 days, but for 40 years, they wandered because of their rebellion. And I can imagine the discouragement that would probably have been upon Joshua. Moses is now gone. God says, Joshua, you're the next leader. Oh, I don't know, man. Yeah, I do say amen. But I'm thinking Joshua might have said, oh, are you, is there someone else? Listen, these guys, these rascals didn't follow Moses. They're not going to follow me. I don't think I want to be their leader. God says, I need you to be strong. I need you to be strong. Coastal Light Baptist Church, listen, I pray that we are, for many people in this city, a leader. I believe that our church should be a leader of individuals. That our church should be made up of church members who are leaders of individuals. Leaders of those who will follow and watch and say, you've got something that I believe I need. There's something about your life. There's something different about it. Oh, I hope that someone has walked up to you one day. Maybe it was at the job. Maybe it was at a store. Maybe it was a family member. Oh, it's good when someone comes up and says, I don't know what it is about you, but there's something different about you. There's something different. Now, they may like it, they may not like it, but I like the fact that when people notice that there's something different, that I don't behave, I don't act, I don't look, whatever it is, like all of the rest of society seems to look. I'm grateful that they can see that there is something different. I'm grateful that they can see that there is something in the church that can show a course of action. Be a leader. Before we can be leaders, we must be courageous. Before we can be courageous, oh, we need to be strong. I read over in the book of Revelation as John writes, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John writes to the church of Sardis. He says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Strengthen the things which remain, John writes. Boy, that thought can't get out of my mind as I look here over in Joshua, and he says, be strong and of a good courage. Here at the very beginning, if you will, right after the Pentateuch, right after the law, if you will. Now we open up into the book of Joshua and we begin really seeing that church in the wilderness. We really begin seeing the actions that are taken. And as the promised land is given and the command is given, be strong, be strong, be strong. And then we close the Bible in the book of Revelation. And as John is looking at the church of Sardis, he's looking at all seven of those churches and they're getting weaker and weaker and weaker, all the way to Laodicea, which is the church age that we live in right now, the very weakest of all churches. Sardis was not there yet, but he looks at them and he says, oh, would you strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die? You know, old-fashioned fundamental Bible preaching is about ready to die in our country. I promise you that. It's about ready to die. A willingness to take a Bible and say, thus saith the Lord, it's about ready to die. We see it being battered against at every front. I don't care what laws are passed. I don't care what legislation may say. I don't care what the whims of society are. I thank the Lord that the rock of the book of God will withstand every storm that comes its way. And if you're standing on the solid rock, Jesus taught us that through the simple parable, that if I'm on the rock, praise God, I will not fall. But if I stand on the sinking sand, I'll fall every time. Where do we want to be as a church? How strong do we want to be? How strong do we see that God is asking of us? Oh, the things which remain that are ready to die. Oh, I know there's been much said in the past several years about the end of time. I know that I thank the Lord the rapture, once that happens of the saints, there will be no more sickness. There will be no more heartache. There will be no more death. Praise God. But we're not there yet. We're not there yet. We still have some strengthening to do. The illustration is given a blacksmith. He's known for his strong, this particular blacksmith, known for his strong faith. He had a great deal of illness in his life, a lot of struggles with his personal life. He was challenged by an unbeliever to explain why his God would let him suffer. He explained, he says, as a blacksmith, I'll take a piece of iron and I'll put it into the fire and I'll bring it to a white hot state. He says, then I'll strike it once, maybe twice, to see if it will take a temper. I plunge it into the water to change the temperature. I put it into the fire again, and then I put it on the anvil to make a useful article out of it. However, if it will not take a temper when I first strike it on the anvil, I take that metal and I cast it into the scrap heap, and I sell it for pennies on the pound. He says, I believe that God has been testing me personally to see if I will take a temper. I have tried to bear up as patiently as I could, the old man said. My daily prayer has been, Lord, put me into the fire, if you will. Put me into the water, if you think I need it. Do anything that you please, but Lord, please, don't throw me into the scrap heap. Don't throw me into the scrap heap. I want to be strong. In Isaiah, we read, the illustration is given, talking about the building. So everyone helped his neighbor. And everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith. And he that smoothed with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. Coastal Light Baptist Church, we must be strong. We've got to be strong. The carpenter needs to encourage the goldsmith. The finisher needs to encourage the blacksmith. We need to strengthen, as the book of Revelation says, we need to strengthen those things which remain, that it not be moved. The one who is heavy-hearted needs to be strengthened this morning. The one who is ill needs to be strengthened. The Sunday school teacher needs to be strengthened. The backslidden individual needs to be strengthened. The one who is proud needs to be strengthened. The one who is filled with doubt needs to be strengthened. The one who is God-fearing, the honest, the loving, the sweet-spirited Christian man and lady needs to be strengthened. We all need it. We all need that encouraging. We all must realize that God has said, be strong. Be strong. Listen, if we're going to be strong, then we need to see strength in our commitment. Look there at verse number 9 again, Joshua chapter 1, verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. If you look at verse number 18, it gives us a very dire outcome. It says, whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Listen, I have said before, I am thankful that we do not live under the wrath of God, the God of the Old Testament that He described. The Old Testament is just as real for me as the New Testament is. But there was an immediate wrath of God that we read about in the Old Testament. That with the covenant of the New Testament, I thank the Lord there is more grace. Oh, I thank God that He gives me grace that I do not deserve. He gives me mercy that I am so undeserving of. But when He finishes that statement, He says, only be thou strong and of a good courage. Verse number 12, when we read over here, verse number 12, we read, of course, about the spies that are brought into the area, and Rahab that deals with them. That will not go through all of it. When we get to verse number 12, Rahab now says, now therefore I pray you, swear me unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. Rahab, here, this lady that hid the spies as they had gone into the land to find out what is this land like. God's promised us this land, but let's go, 12 of us, let's go in here and find out what it's like. And so she hid the spies and she said, now listen, I want a true token. I want a true token. In other words, I want some commitment. I want some commitment from you. Listen, if we're going to be strong, then we must have strong commitment to God. She was asking, will you commit to me? Will you give me a commitment that my house, myself, my family, that we'll be fine? I've shown you kindness. I've been good to you. Will you give me a commitment? You see, God's been good to me. Oh, God has given me far more than I deserve. God's given me a home that is waiting for me in heaven. I thank the Lord for it. God's given me the understanding of a Bible, how to have a family that is God-honoring, how to have a wonderful wife that has been beside me for 26 years now, to have children that will raise up to serve the Lord. God's been good to me far better than this preacher deserves. I'll promise you that. The least that I can do is say, all right, Lord, I'm going to show you some commitment. I'm going to show you some commitment. I'll give you, Lord, I'll give you a true token. That true token, that's going to be my life. That's going to be my commitment. That's going to be, I'll back up what I tell you that I'll do. Psalm 37, verse number 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. In Proverbs 16, verse 3, we read, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You say, man, I'm having a real difficult time with my thought life. How hard are you working for the Lord? Man, Pastor, I'm having a tough time with my thought life. Good. Jump on the phone and say, hey, Pastor, listen, I don't mean to burden with you this, and I know you're not my priest, and I'm not going to confess my sin to you, but I'm struggling right now with my thought life, and I thought maybe there's something down there at the church that I could do. If I'll commit my work unto the Lord, then God's going to take care of my thoughts. And I'll say, hey, you know what? Sure, got a pressure washer over here. Got an area back here you can pressure wash. I've got some weeds over here. Maybe you can mow those down. Maybe you can pull them. Hey, I've got some flowers up here I'd like you to plant. You say, oh, that's just a bunch of busy work. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You see, when we try to find out what is God teaching us, sometimes He's just saying, all right, Lord, I'll be committed to You. I'll be committed to You. Let me go so far as to say this. I know it's a Sunday morning. I generally try not to jump into this too much. You're struggling in an area of your life. How committed are you to the house of God? How committed are you to the house of God? You say, man, I'm really struggling over here. I can imagine so if you come eat one meal a week. I can imagine that you're struggling. See, I understand that. How do you understand it? Well, because I struggled for a long time too. Eating once a week. Coming to church once a week, Sunday morning. Oh, too busy to go on Sunday night. Oh, I've got too much schoolwork to do on Wednesday night. Until, as I remind you again, until the day that I sat right there, oh, about fourth row back over on the side, and I realized I'm a fool of all fools, and I come to the altar that night, and I said, dear Lord God, I promise You, I'm not making this decision every single Sunday morning, every single Sunday night, every single Wednesday night. Lord, I'm making the decision right now. I'm going to be in church, period. Point blank, no questions asked. No questions asked. I thank the Lord for good health. I mean that. I praise the Lord. I'm not trying to... It certainly isn't anything about me. You watch my diet, I should be dead. Amen. I should be. Some of you know that. I thank God I'm not. But I thank God that I have no idea. Again, I'm not bragging. I'm telling the Lord, thank You, Lord. For well over 26 years, I take that back. There was one Sunday morning that I missed. There was one Sunday morning that I missed. And that was because I could have gone, but my wife said, honey, you know that Pastor Nichols doesn't have the best of health. Why are you going to go and give him possibly what you might have? So that Sunday morning I stayed home. But that Sunday night I said, I'm done. I'm going. I'll just not even go talk to Pastor Nichols. I'll just stay away from him. I don't want him to get sick. But praise the Lord. There was a time here where I wasn't feeling very good and I didn't want you all to get sick. Most of you weren't even here back then. And so I said that on that. I think it was a Sunday night, maybe a Wednesday night. I said, Brother Dave, I want you to lead the singing. I want you to do everything. I'm going to stay out here in the fellowship hall or in the foyer. I'm not even going to come in until it's time to preach. I'm not going to shake anyone's hand. I'm not going to say hello to anybody. I'm going to come up to the pulpit. I'm going to preach a message. And I'm going to go home. Praise the Lord. You say, why are you talking about that? Because we need some commitment to God. We need some commitment to the Lord. Oh, are we going to be strong? Well, if we're going to be strong, it's going to take commitment. I promise you, we will not get through without commitment. The illustration is given of a plane. There is no such thing as partial commitment. When a pilot, the pilot of an airliner, is speeding down the runway, there is a certain point where he cannot decide to remain on the ground. When he crosses that line, he is committed to the air, or the plane will crash. Even before the wheels leave the ground, he is committed to the air, because he cannot back down now. If he tries to back down, he will go headlong off the end of the runway, into the trees or whatever awaits him at the end of the runway. There's a point of commitment. Folks, we need to see a point of commitment. We need to see the strength because of commitment. Oh, will you give God a true token? He has been so good to you. Will you give Him a true token of your life? I want you to think of the second thing. We need strength in our decisions. If you go over to chapter number 3 of Joshua, we're going to, for sake of time, jump over to the verses. In verse number 4, we're just about ready to cross the Jordan here with them. And in verse 4 it says, yea, there shall be a space between you and it. This is talking about the ark. About 1,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. Watch now, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. You've never gone this way yet. Verse number 5 says, "And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." We need strength in our decisions. Listen, we've not gone this way before. Let's make sure that our decisions are right. How can I do that? Well, as Joshua, he looked at the people. He said, "Listen, God just told me something that I'd never really thought of. We've never gone this way before. How can we know the direction? How can we know what we're supposed to do? We're going to see on the next point. We're just about ready to step into the Jordan River. We've never gone this way before. I don't know what to do. So what should we do? Let's sanctify our lives." You see, there's justification. I mentioned just the other day. Justification is the day that I got saved. Justification required no effort on my part. I asked Jesus into my heart. I was born again. I'll never have to suffer the fire of hell. I'll never have to go to hell. I know heaven's my home, irregardless of anything else that I may do in my life. When I was saved, I was born again. Praise God, heaven's my home. Justified right there on the spot. Sanctification is not that easy. Sanctification requires dedication. Sanctification requires commitment. Sanctification requires decision. I am going to have to search the Scripture. I'm going to have to find out, what does God want from my life? How does He want me to live my life so that I can sanctify through God's Word my life? So now we look at the children of Israel. They're about ready to cross the Jordan River. And Joshua says, sanctify yourselves. You've never made this decision yet. Sanctify yourself. Well, I would encourage you, church. We want to be strong. We want to be strong in our decisions. We've never gone this way before. Pastor, I don't know what decision to make. Sanctify yourself. I can't give you the decision, but I can tell you to sanctify yourself. What do you mean? I mean, you start searching the Scripture. Say, all right, Lord, what in my life is displeasing to you? We look at it in Sunday school. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. All right, Lord, I'm going to put faith into it. I don't know why preacher keeps saying that I should come back on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I don't know why Sunday school is so important, but Lord, I'm going to take it by faith. I believe that the Bible says that we should assemble together and we should learn the Word of God. So I'm going to do it by faith, Lord. I don't even see how it's going to help. Well, the first grader doesn't see what good it's going to do to go back another day. I already learned 2 + 2 = 4 yesterday. I don't need to learn it again. Why should I go back to school tomorrow? But we send the first grader back to school. In second grade, the second grader doesn't say, "I'm not going to do my times tables." Well, they're not times. Second grade, I don't know. I'm not going to do my addition because I learned that last year. I'm not going to do it again. No, you go over it again and you go over it again and you go over it again until it becomes absolute, just part of your life. And the Christian life is no different. We do it again and we do it again and we do it again until it becomes part of our life. Oh, but we've got these decisions before us. What should I do? I should sanctify my life. Why? Because I've got decisions that I've never had to face before. Maybe you have decisions that you've faced before and you made the wrong choice. But God's allowing you to make the decision again. God's giving you a redo. He's giving you a mulligan if you play golf. You get to drop the ball again. Yeah, you messed up. But God's giving you another choice. What do I do? Sanctify yourself. Be strong. Have some decisions that are strong, purposeful decisions. The third thing that we need to see is we need to see strength in our sacrifice. If we go over to chapter number 3 here, stay there in chapter number 3. Well, we've been told in verse number 5 to sanctify ourselves for the morrow. We get to verse number 7. We're going to read several verses. Here it says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin," watch that, "I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that thou may know that I was, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." So, God is beginning to do a work in Joshua's life. Verse number 8, "Thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when thou art come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Havites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan." That's the river. The Jordan River. The Ark of the Covenant is going to pass before you into the Jordan River. In verse number 12, "Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every man
out of every tribe a man. Watch verse 13. And as soon as it shall, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. Praise God, He did it again. He parted the Red Sea that the children of Israel all in one night could cross over, only to watch it collapse back upon the Pharaoh's army. And now they don't have an army behind them chasing them down. But now they're at the Jordan River. And I can imagine that they're at a point of the river that is probably significant across it. I think maybe like if you were to cross over the Ashley River over here, there at the bridge it crossed over, either one of them, 526, either one, wide area. I don't know how wide it was. God doesn't tell us. But I tell you, I promise you this, He does tell us that it required, not only did it require their faith, but it required their sacrifice. They were having to, they were going to have to watch these priests march headlong into an area that they'd never been, into the Jordan River. And I could only imagine that now, as they choose one tribe out of every, or one man out of every tribe, what are we going to do? You're going to march over into the Ashley River. What do you mean we're going to swim? No, the Lord says you're going to march. You're going to march into the Ashley River. How's that going to happen? I don't know. You mean I'm going to be a sacrifice? You may. But I'm going to trust God. All right? Well, I pictured this in my mind, that the first priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and the first priest, you know, well, maybe one on either side, the Ark up on their shoulder, and I don't know how it all played out, who it was that first put their foot, but you know, you think, okay, I'm gonna, you see, at the Red Sea, God parted the Red Sea, and then they're like, wow, dry land, let's go. But He didn't do that with the Jordan. He said, take a step into the water and see what I'll do. Did God, as soon as He took the water scattered and on dry ground? I don't know. That's kind of how I like to think of it, but I don't know if that's what God did or not. Or if He waited until they got out there further and further, and then all of a sudden the water didn't stop flowing. The river Jordan didn't stop flowing. It just, this water flowed on down, and this water began to stand upon an heap. I wonder how high the Jordan River got. You think how remarkable it would have been to watch the Red Sea part? Could you imagine watching this wall of water get higher and higher, and it build up further and further, and it's like God had taken a clear sheet of fiberglass or whatever, plexiglass, and put it there, and the water just began to, and oh, listen, they had to be willing to sacrifice. Hey, are we going to be strong this year? Are we going to be strong today in our sacrifice? We read on. We read over in Joshua chapter number 4. We see that we need strength in action. In chapter number 4, they've gone through here now. They're in the middle of the Jordan. And in verse number, it tells them they're supposed to take stones. They're to put these stones in verse number 6. The sign, this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? They took 12 stones. They put them in the middle of the Jordan. They also put them on the edge of the Jordan. And He said, I want you to be able to tell your children. I want you to be able to see that they can follow your action. They can follow it. They're going to see those stones. They're going to see certainly the ones at the edge of the Jordan. But they were, I imagine they saw the ones in the middle of the Jordan River. Somehow. Well, what are those stones all about, Dad? Oh, buddy, let me tell you, when we followed God in action, He did some remarkable things for us. Oh, hey, listen, Coastal Light, are we going to be able to pass to our children, to the next generation? God has done some remarkable things for our church, for Coastal Light Baptist Church. God has done some remarkable things for our family. God has done some remarkable things for my life. Do we have anything to pass down to our children? Do we have action that we have shown them that we'll be able to point back and say, listen, when I chose to act for God, God did this for me. When we chose to take a step of faith, Lord willing, here in the next some odd time, I can't tell you yet, I don't know. But Lord willing, I'm going to be asking Coastal Light Baptist Church to take a step of faith. That's something that I've been praying about for quite some time. That it's going to require a step of faith. It's not how large of a step of faith, I don't know yet. I'm not wanting to scare you. But if we can't take a step of faith as an independent fundamental Baptist church, then what could we do? We need to take some steps of faith. We need to see action. We need to grow strong in our action. In our action to the Lord. Man, our action. We meet down here Sunday tonight for some training on soul winning. Man, how much action is there involved? Are we willing to say, I'll come and I'll listen, I'll learn so that I could put some action into what God wants from me? We see that we're going to need strength and success when we go to chapter number 5, when we read in verse number 13. In verse number 13 of chapter number 5, it says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lift up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship him and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place where thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. You see, we see some success here in the book of Joshua. We see the beginning of some success right here as the captain of the Lord's host is standing with a sword drawn, and Joshua approaches him, and just as he told Moses to take off your feet, bury your shoes, because the ground that you're on is hallowed ground, he said the very same thing to Joshua. It wasn't a burning bush this time. It was the captain of the Lord's host with a sword drawn in his hand. It didn't scare Joshua. He didn't run from it. He wanted to know, are you for us or our enemies? And he simply said, oh, listen, I'm the captain of the Lord's host, loose your shoes, because Joshua was about ready to see some success. He was about ready to see some success. I believe that we need to see some successes in our church. I believe we need to see some families that have been strengthened and can be able to say, boy, praise God, here's a success story. Here's a success story. Here's where I once was as a person, as an individual, as a family. Here's where I once was, but praise God. God's Word has transformed my life, and now I am, and I'm not talking about success in business. Praise the Lord if you are successful in business. Thank God for it. I'm not talking about, praise the Lord, I got a raise or I got a promotion or any of those things. I'm talking about successful as a child of God. And my Christian life is moving forward. That's success to God. But we're also going to have to see strength in our failures. When we go to chapter number 7, we begin reading about Achan. If you know anything about Achan, the Bible tells us that he took, in verse number 1, he took in the very middle of it there, he took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And it goes on, we're not going to read for sake of time, you can read down through verse number 8, they go to battle against Ai, and they lose. They're defeated. They've never met defeat. They'd marched through land after land after land after land. But now, when there was one individual that chose to go against God's very clear word, in verse number 18 of chapter number 6, it says, and ye in any wise keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves a curse when ye take of the camp the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. God gave them the warning. Achan didn't listen. And they fell before Ai. They could not take the city of Ai. And so now Joshua is struggling with defeat. He's struggling with failure. He's trying to figure out what's going on, Lord. Why did we fail? I pray that we'll never fail when we attempt something for God, but I'm not so foolish as to think that we might. I'm not so foolish as to think that there might be something one day that we do that turns out to be a failure. Man, I could list numerous failures in my past. I don't want to see failures in the future. But what I do want to see is if and when God allows me to fail, that I'll realize why it is that we failed, why it is that I failed, and I'll set it right so that I can gain strength. If I have no failures, if all I ever have is successes, I will never gain the strength that God wants me to have. There will be failures. They're part of the life of a church. They're part of the life of a Christian, a child of God. Oh, they're not fun. I don't like preaching about them. I would love to be able to say no one's ever going to have any failure, and our church is never going to see a failure either. There are going to be those times. But what do? We learn from them. And we grow. And when we get to down to verse number 20 and 21, and Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done." So in other words, we need to confess to God what we've done. We need to run to 1 John 1:9, confess our sin. And then verse 21, it says, "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold and 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." And of course, we understand how God's anger was played out upon Achan. But when we conclude this in verse number 1 of chapter number 8, it says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and rise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land." Praise God. Even though there was a failure, when it was dealt with biblically, God said, I'll turn that failure into a success. You see, we need to be strengthened in so many ways, in so many areas in our life. Coastal Light Baptist Church, are we going to be strong? Are we going to be strong? Are we going to grow? Do we have setbacks? We will. We will always have setbacks. Have we? Sure. Have we seen successes? Absolutely. But if we don't gain strength, if we do not grow strong, then we'll have no way to look and say, "Lord, we've seen so many wonderful successes. Oh, let's not be a church that when we battle against Ai, when we battle against Satan, when we battle against the enemy, we fail only because we did not do things the way God prescribed already." Are we going to be strong this year? Committed to the cause. Are we going to be committed to the cause? It will take strength and commitment. It's going to take that strength in the decisions, in sacrifice, in action, in successes. But it's going to take strength in our failures as well. Let's learn from them. And let's decide not to repeat them again. As an individual, learn from your mistake. And decide, I won't do that again. Better yet, learn from the mistake of others. You could ask any of my children. They'll come and they'll say, "Dad, this such and such happened. So and so did this to me, or they said this to me, all from when they were little children. They did this, they did that." And I say the same thing every time. What can we learn from it? Now they know. Don't be like that. That's exactly right. Don't be like that. If you watch someone that they have failed, but they've gotten back up, and that, praise the Lord, they're going on for the Lord, look at their life and say, "I don't want to make the mistake that they made. I'll learn from their mistake." Maybe they didn't get up. Maybe they are not going on for the Lord anymore. Then we can look and we can say, "By God's grace, I don't want to be that way." How strong are we going to be this year? How strong will we be? How committed to the cause will you be this year? Oh, I pray that you'll be committed to Him. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I pray you'd bless this time. Lord, we thank you. Lord, what a perfect passage, dear God, here out of Joshua. Lord, as he began to take the reins of a nation, and dear Lord, I can only imagine that he felt inadequate. Dear God, you gave him strength. You taught him, Lord. I pray that we would do the same. Lord, we would look to you, and that we would be strengthened because of what we've learned, what we've seen. But dear God, I pray that we would decide, I will be strong. I'll make those decisions. I will put the action in. I will give you a true token. I'm committed. I am committed. Lord, I am committed. This morning your head's bowed, no eyes are open. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Can I ask you a simple question about your eternity? Can I ask you this question? If you, this morning, listen to the question. If you could say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I remember the day that I was born again. I remember it as if it were yesterday. Could I have you slip your hand up real quickly here? All across the auditorium, I know that I'm saved. I have no doubt about it. I have no doubt. Well, thank you so much for that. You put your hands down. As it looked like every hand was up. Maybe this morning you didn't raise your hand and I missed it. Maybe you raised your hand and you shouldn't have. The first question that I could ask you, are you a child of God? Do you know Christ as your Savior? If you died today, where would you spend eternity? Would you go to heaven? Or would you go to hell? Jesus Christ did not come to this earth, suffer for me, take my sin upon Himself. He was not crucified on the cross and shed His blood, all so that I could hope that I might go to heaven. He did it so that I could know for certain. And if there's a question in your mind, oh, I beg you, would you get it settled today? Would you allow someone to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved? Maybe you say, well, I'm already saved, Pastor. What's in this message for me? Would you be strong? Would you be strong? Would you be strong? Maybe there's someone here that needs to make the decision. I will be in church. I'm going to make that same decision that Pastor Sears made. I'm going to make the decision today. I'm not playing this game anymore. I'll be in church every service. I'll be every Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If there's a revival, I'll be there. If there's a missions conference, I'll be there. I'm tired of making the decision over and over and over. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you need to make the decision. I want to make this church my home church. I want to come and join. I want to ask Pastor, what do I need to join an old-fashioned Baptist church like this? I want a good church, a solid church home. You see, when you decide to join the church, there's an ownership that you take upon the church. That's just not the church that you attend. That's your church. The Bible teaches about being joined to the church, added to the church. Maybe this morning it's a decision you need to make. I pray the Holy Spirit be very real to you. Dear Lord, I do ask the Holy Spirit would burden the hearts today, Lord. I pray that we would make decisions for you. Every head is if your head bowed, stand if you would. I'm going to ask the piano to begin to play. Your heads are still bowed. Stand if you would, your feet. The invitation is open. Oh, would you come this morning? Would you make a decision for God? Would you make a decision for commitment? Would you say, I'll give Him a true token. I'll give Him a true token. Something needs to change in my life. I can't go on living every day like I've been living now. There's got to be strength in my life. I promise you, if you're not strengthening, you're weakening. Or you're being stagnant at best. Oh, let's not weaken. Let's not be stagnant. Would you come this morning as she plays? Would you come?